Welcome to The Factor, your trusted podcast for the life sciences industry powered by Chimenox. Today's episode is hosted by Evan Edwards, Chief Innovation Officer at Chimenox, and he's joined in the studio by Nick Ciccarelli, Chief Technology Officer at Chimenox. Nick discusses his new leadership role overseeing the company's product design, development, and commercialization teams. They cover how these cross-functional teams collaborate globally to provide end-to-end services across the full product development lifecycle. Here's Evan.
First, I'd like to congratulate you, Nick, on becoming our CTO and joining us in the podcast studio in RTP. I'd like to first talk about this new initiative that we're rolling out, which is the product design, development, and commercialization teams. This group at Chimenox under your leadership, tell us a little bit more about what that's about and what you're trying to accomplish.
Evan, first of all, thanks for having me. Excited to be on The Factor. So I think just to start, you know, Chimenox has always had the pieces of this group existing within our legacy design, development, engineering team. So I wouldn't say that anything's new in the sense of the capabilities have existed. Just the recent consolidation of the teams are more of just a concerted effort to promote cross-collaboration between people and within the groups to offer our customers end-to-end streamlined services. So historically, Chimenox maybe had more focused single workstream projects, but more and more we've seen customers entrusting us with larger projects across the span of the product development lifecycle. And we really wanted our internal capabilities to offer a seamless kind of product.
Now, you kind of mentioned cross-collaboration. We have a lot of different groups within Chimenox, including now with our acquisition of Antares this past year. We've expanded globally in Europe, which is also a group that you're leading. How do you now work cross-functionally then with these specialized teams, including our team members in Germany and Switzerland?
So I think specific to teams in design, development, commercialization, that includes our domestic teams in the US mm-hmm. and in Europe. I mean, we have extensive expertise across all phases of product development, right? So that includes pre-design controls, whether it's innovation work, feasibility, to following a more fully mature phase gate process that's really fully within design controls.
And we can meet them where they are. If we have, you know, customers or sponsors in Europe, we have boots on the ground that can support them as well.
Absolutely. So it's really great to kind of have across the United States and in a different time zone, you know, over in Europe. That really helps cover both our European customers, and even now we have some customers over in Asia as well. So we're really kind of expanding our reach in terms of a global footprint. But we have experts in mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, prototyping, technical program management, technology landscapes, design history file documentation, risk management, V&V, third-party vendor engagement. So really what this means as far as collaborating and cross-functional teams is really just all of these different areas of expertise are ways in which people in our teams can kind of jump in on the same project and support one another.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I just mentioned is given the acquisitions and what we're talking about here, you've been through this experience before.
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So before Chimenox, you were co-founder of Numa, and then you really helped support that integration of Numa into Chimenox. And we've been working through that both with Agilis, which is where the Factor podcast came from, as well as our friends at Antares, as I mentioned, in Europe. How do you see that experience of going through that integration all the way back in 2021 now influencing your leadership in this role?
So I spent like the first half of my career really as a design engineer, mechanical design, medical device companies, really startups, and specifically in interventional surgery and drug delivery. So in 2017, the startup that I was at actually as an engineer went bankrupt. And so me and some of my fellow engineers picked ourselves up off the ground, founded a consulting company, and we called it Numa. And we were pretty successful.
Why was it called Numa, by the way?
So Numa was the Greek root. So Numa, as we spelled it, N-E-U-M-A, yeah. It's missing the P, but you might be familiar with pneumatics, right? So
yeah.
The Greek roots, wind or spirit. And so
we like Greek company names.
Yeah, Chimenox as well. Chimenox as well. So, but the Greek root really meant wind or spirit. And so what we thought was we were the wind in the sails of our customers.
Oh,
so pushing nice. Our customers along.
And that continues on to this day.
That continues on. That's right. So when we founded Numa, I mean, really the premise being kind of more design heavy, at least in my career and with my colleagues, the premise of that was really bridging early stage design and real life true manufacturing and production. Mm. Because that's what we had really done in our past lives as well.
Yeah, so it's trying to make the clients and sponsors projects advance more through industrialization into commercialization.
Exactly. And I think people are a lot more familiar with very early stage design, right? Napkin sketches, right. Ideations, whiteboarding, you know, sketching out crazy ideas, maybe prototyping, putting some things in a tangible sense. And then the back end, everybody knows high volume manufacturing, the Amazons of the world, distribution, everything else. But really that in between design and manufacturing, some people actually call it the valley of death. I mean, it's a pretty difficult part of the development process where we have to get something off the 3D printer, off the napkin. The factory is looming several years down the road, but we have to actually figure out a way to get it there. And so that was kind of our premise all along, and even still today. So that's why we founded Numa. And I think we were successful with a number of customers in kind of helping them bridge that gap. But in 2021, we really found a great partner in Chimenox who has been doing those types of development activities all along, just maybe not as early stage as Numa was and a little bit more mm-hmm. of the front end design work.
Yeah.
So Chimenox ended up being a great partner and acquired Numa in July of 2021. So,
and you've been leading those integration efforts. So yeah. You know, what did you take away from that as we've continued to progress through the additional acquisitions last year?
So I think integration, has been interesting for me because, you know, leading Numa across a number of different roles, business development, HR, accounting, engineering, you know, every all in one, to kind of then shifting to Chimenox, where Numa was a very specific service offering and really a broad portfolio of things. Mm-hmm. You know, my role shifted a bit from leading a group to then kind of learning a lot more about Chimenox, yeah. Chimenox's service offerings, and the ways in which Numa could kind of plug in. So integration has been one of my main goals over the last few years. And really because I was committed to it and committed to just learning about Chimenox, I've learned a lot about how Chimenox works, how it can be better, and how Numa really can fit into all of that. So integration was my first task, but that job really never goes away. And now that a lot of time has passed, I'd say that I've learned a lot more about Chimenox and how to kind of optimize the legacy business as well, right? So originally yeah. I was just trying to figure out how does Numa fit into all of this. Now I've learned a lot about the other service offerings and I've kind of seen some of the pieces and how they fit together as well in the existing organization. So that's played into my new role now here as CTO and the formation of this new group. Which is really about optimizing our services and providing our customers with the best product possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you talk about integration never stopping, even on the technical side. I mean, a lot of what you do is taking and integrating design considerations into the entire product development process. Let's talk a little bit more about that and kind of dive a little bit deeper into some of the functional aspects of your group and what you all do. So, you know, when you think about that and the product development process itself, what do you all think about? How do you ensure that our sponsors and clients are, you know, thinking through a lot of different design considerations throughout the process, all the way from conception to through, you know, trying to head toward commercialization and manufacturing?
So, yeah, I mean, I think projects come really in all shapes and sizes. Yeah. And Chimenox sees a breadth
and
of
clients
projects.
And sponsors, right?
Right. So yeah. We see, you know, Fortune 50 companies with several year-long projects, and we see independent inventors, entrepreneurs who, you know, will, again, engage us on short and long-term projects. I mean, Chimenox has projects that are 4 weeks long or 3 years long. So, I mean, it's definitely a broad kind of range, but it's important to have a good understanding of where you are in the development cycle, no matter who the client is or the project. If the project dictates really novel designs and brainstorming, we want to foster creativity and out-of-the-box thinking. If a project dictates solutions to an injection molding problem, we want to kind of live within the constraints of that manufacturing technology. So I think the point is we're trying to bring the right elements of creativity, but also some reality yeah. to the projects that we have. And we always try to look ahead a little bit and understand, again, whether it's not just design, right? It's quality engineering, it's regulatory, it's some of our other colleagues within the organization too and how they can pitch in.
And you meet them where they are. I mean, it's not like there's one specific client project that you're saying, hey, they have to be at this stage of development for you to come in and support them. They could be later down the process and you can still make an impact, right?
Absolutely. And and I think it's really understanding what is the milestone at hand? What is the task? I mean, of course, the far out milestone is always kind of getting the commercial, helping, you know, Chymenox is why is because patients deserve better. Yeah. And so, of course, our goal here is to get to the end line so that we can have a commercial product for our customer and for the patient. But there's a lot of incremental steps along the way. So understanding what our milestones are, whether that's getting through regulatory submission, regulatory approval, just getting a basic prototype on the desk, you know, of our clients so they can go into an investor meeting. Yeah. I think understanding those milestones are important. So.
Yeah, those value inflection points are very important. I think that what you just kind of alluded to is many of our clients and sponsors have a lot of challenges. So how do you, in particular with your on the product development side, navigate some of the sponsors' challenges that they face during the product development to guide them so that they can get to that next stage? I mean, when is enough, in terms of resolving and mitigating and iterating on the product development side? How do you all manage that as subject matter experts?
I think particularly in the early stages of a project, I mean, the part of innovation, right, is it's maybe never been done before. There's some challenges or hurdles that we don't even know exist until we kind of encounter them. So I think bringing the right toolkit to the problem is important, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have the solution up front, right? And so we bring the tools to every kind of situation that we encounter. And some of those tools may be virtual tools, right? Like our CAD tools, some things like in the real world, benchtop testing or prototyping. So, but
which you all have expanded in King of Prussia. We're doing more and more.
Absolutely.
Verification, design verification testing, really supporting our customers and sponsors with that journey, not just on the design and product development side, but also the testing side, right?
Absolutely. And so, I mean, I think being able to kind of deploy those tools at the right time is super critical, right? So understanding, you know, there's a lot that can be done on a project in simulation.
I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that, you know, even on human factors studies, you've been able to quickly iterate informative and exploratory studies and take a product and change the CAD quickly. And even within within the study itself, try to have the participants use something different, try a different cap, try a different housing design. And that's something that you all can do in King of Prussia, which I know has been extremely beneficial to the human factors team.
And I think that ability to kind of fail fast, be able to create designs, create prototypes, kind of sniff out, where problems may arise quicker than, make that happen sooner rather than later. So there's definitely elements of both, providing something to somebody in prototype stage or in a human factors study very early on that we can kind of get to a better answer quicker. So I think that's one of the main objectives for us and our clients.
Yeah, and I love how you mentioned there's trying to advance the product and the program to hit specific milestones, but there's also advancing the product and the program for some of the companies. While we have huge biotech and pharma companies and medical device companies we support, we also support, startups and these hyper virtual companies where we become an extension of their team, knowing how to guide them, but to get to that next value inflection point where they can raise additional capital is crucial. And I think that your team does an excellent job navigating that in the product development process as well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I totally agree. I think even particularly for a smaller company, you don't want to overwhelm them with the entire project all at once, right? Because that's not easily digestible. So again, kind of figuring out what are the milestones on the 3, 6 month, 9 month horizon. There's no reason if we're in the very early stages of design and development for us to start costing out, okay, this is going to take $10 million of automation to make 50 million units. Like that's not the point of maybe some of the early stage activities. So I think really kind of figuring out those phases and those milestones early on. And again, the tools to apply, it's the same. It kind of goes back to, I think what you were talking about, design verification testing, human factor studies, early stage design. You have to kind of know when to apply those things and what the right amount is, right? We don't want to do endless amounts of design and CAD. We don't want to prototype forever. We don't want to run 50 HF studies. We don't want to do design verification testing endlessly. So the point is that trying to, you know, really be strategic and surgical on those activities so that we're driving the most value for our customers.
And I think because of the diversity of projects that we get to see, mm-hmm. we get to apply that knowledge and experience to really make sure that the decisions that the product development and design group are making, your team is making, truly are making an impact in their journey.
So, yeah. And leveraging some of that experience, I think we have the ability to kind of short circuit some pathways that we're like, you know, we've maybe seen something similar here. There's been an analog that we know to
that didn't work.
Right. Right. Let's not go down
let's not go down path.
Let's not go down path. Yeah.
Let's switch gears just for a minute. I want to talk a little bit about the fact that because we're a global company, we constantly see the regulations evolving. I mean, they evolve weekly. How do you support the design development team with making sure that our team is always on the cutting edge and up to speed on the constantly changing global regulations?
So it's a good question. I mean, I think it's addressed kind of in there's many different ways to kind of bring yourself up to speed on it. But at least from my vantage point, there's two ways that I support our engineers on. Number one, we support all of our engineers across Kymanox on continuous professional development.
Yeah.
Whether that's through training, continuing ed, but also just generally, you know, encourage the fact that to be an engineer at the top of your game, you know, you have to read the latest ISO standards, FDA guidance, you know, ping various SMEs within the organization and pick their brains on kind of their area of expertise. So to me, that's kind of the one side of polishing yourself as an engineer that we really encourage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the other side of it is the second point here is just really being more fully supported by a world-class regulatory team that's within Kymanox. And so that ties back to the integration and optimization piece. It's not just my group that I'm trying to integrate, optimize, et cetera. I think it's really bringing in product design, development, and making the strong connections to some of our other niche groups, right? Like regulatory, human factors.
Yeah. Oh, and like CMC, we have those discovery cafes, right? So we have internal presentations that educate the entire organization on the latest trends, the latest regulatory guidance, and you know, standards, and kind of where the environment's changing. I know that's been really helpful for me as well as a leader in the organization, just constantly learning, and that's what I love about your team and the rest of Kymanox is there's this thirst for knowledge.
Yeah.
And you have to have that as a subject matter expert supporting your sponsors and our clients.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think we definitely have, you know, a high threshold for curiosity and learning and just kind of continuous personal improvement. And I think you feel that within Kymanox from a personal level. You know, I think there's a lot of engineers within the company that are just generally curious and wanting to kind of learn more about their own subject matter expertise or things that are slightly outside of their sphere, but that are of interest. And I think that, you know, we talk about T-shaped individuals, people that have breadth and knowledge, but also depth in certain areas. And I think that that's really apparent across the employee base at Kymanox. So
I think that, you know, you talked about the number of different projects we work on and the subject matter experts we have. We get to see a lot of different things. What are some of the trends that you are seeing in the industry with the product development and design group from sponsors, clients, or just in general? I'm curious what you think you know, you're seeing in the industry, what other people will be seeing moving forward over the next year, couple of years.
I think, two just general big areas, I think, that aren't new, but I think that people are particularly interested in are minimally invasive surgery, right? So reducing recovery time from any surgical procedure in general is way better, you know, via catheter-based kind of procedure or, you know, some type of minimal incision. So I think there's definitely a push in the medical community to kind of minimally invasive surgery is big. And there's obviously been a lot of advancements there through laparoscopic surgeries, TAVR, you know, so heart valve replacement through a catheter. And then the other side of it too is the drug delivery space, right? And so drug delivery is far ranging. Yeah. So whether things that we're talking about patches or pumps or insulin pens
or obesity drugs,
auto injectors. So, I mean, I think drug delivery is a massive industry and it really spans the gamut. Really exciting areas, you know, in gene therapy now where we're looking at really targeted gene therapies that are actually being delivered directly to the organ that they want it to impact. So those two big fields, I think, are ripe for continuous evolution and improvement, yeah. Where Chymenox is really contributing.
I think another area, especially we've seen recently in requests around sustainability, especially yeah. coming out of Europe. Are you seeing that as well? And what are your thoughts on that?
And sustainability is a huge, I mean, so drug delivery specifically, right? There's just a massive industry of disposable products,
yeah, sure.
right? So drug delivery products, one-time use, you throw it out. And so sustainability, it's the idea is, hey, can we reduce some of that, right? So can we go to reusable devices for one, but also kind of looking at just generally the carbon footprint of the process, right? So it's great if we made a reusable device, but if we're shipping it from the other side of the planet, you know, the actual transportation burden is also a huge part of the sustainability equation.
Maybe sometimes bigger than sometimes Absolutely. The materials themselves, right?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because you mentioned, as you know, my background and kind of looking at disposable drug delivery devices. How do you balance then when we're talking to sponsors who are really passionate about sustainability, the balance between sustainable and safe and effective or usable? Because I think that can be a challenge sometimes for sponsors trying to navigate that is, if they go too far into sustainability, could it risk, based on the complexity with reusability, like use-related hazards? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I mean, you're obviously the expert on this one, given your background. I mean, I think that the beauty on the design side from a disposable device perspective is simplicity, right?
Sure.
So we have a single button, we have a single cap, it's a one-time operation. There's not a lot to even interact with. So from a design perspective, there is something just really simple and elegant about that. And
yeah.
so then when you do go to the reusable side of things, is this an electromechanical device? Does that have a user interface? How complex is the software to engage with, right? Does it have an app? Do we have to actually interact with things like doors and loading and unloading of certain things, particularly for drug delivery devices? So then all
recharging,
of a sudden, yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of
considerations. Where do you store it, right? So I think all of a sudden then you start to look at, you know, does the benefit of reusability all of a sudden put up a roadblock to, can they use it again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or are we actually throwing out reusable devices because they're so unusable that they're not doing their job?
And negates the entire purpose, yeah.
Exactly.
I think that's something that we're going to have to continue to monitor with our sponsors because, I was recently at PharmaPack in Europe, and it's a hot trend right now with companies trying to really focus on sustainability. I think Europe is leading that effort more than the United States.
For sure.
But I do think that it's going to come in our borders as well. And then we're going to have to continue to guide our sponsors to make sure that whatever they do, if it can be sustainable, but they have to look at the trade-off analysis as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think kind of on that as well is connectivity, right? So it's another thing, reusability, something that we want to move towards. Connectivity, by the same token, it's a technology, it's an enabling thing.
And then, of course, you have to do the AI buzzword, like
right.
how that's going to, we see it in software a ton. Software is a medical device, and we're seeing it more and more. Applying it to some of these products, I think we're going to continue to see that trend.
Yeah.
And you know, at Chymenox, as you know, we're trying to evaluate this together and how to use it both internally and externally. But on the product development process, I think you may see more and more of that, of companies bringing technologies that utilize AI, software, and as a part of connectivity as well, right?
Yeah. And then really the question kind of tying back into where you originally were coming from is, so we have all this technology, right? Whether connectivity, whether some type of AI on top of it, we have data aggregation, the ability to remotely monitor you, all these things. When we kind of strip all that away and just kind of look at it, the founding principle or the baseline is just, is the patient able to get their therapeutic, right? Can they get their drug?
Yeah, right.
Can they go through a procedure?
Is it safe and effective?
Right. So, I mean, it's great to layer in all these things, but we kind of have to go back to kind of the basics of, you know, can the patient be treated? And if layering things on top of it, if they're really enabling and helpful, or potentially are they at some point becoming a hindrance? So I think it's great the technology's there. We just have to make sure that we're deploying it in the right way.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, you and I both know we can talk about this stuff for hours. I think we're about out of time, but I did wanted to thank you for joining us to discuss your new leadership role and more about the design development and commercialization group at Chymenox. And frankly, just your insights on how we can continue to support our sponsors and clients on the product development lifecycle. So,
yeah, thanks, Evan. I think it's an exciting time for Chymenox, an exciting time for the group, and there's a lot more to come.
That was Evan Edwards with Nick Ciccarelli. For more information, check out the show notes or visit Kymanox.com. Thank you so much for listening to or watching this episode. Please subscribe or follow this podcast in whatever app you're using right now, or follow Kymanox on LinkedIn for all updates. This episode was edited and produced by Earfluence. We'll talk to you again soon on The Factor.